think we should.
Because after Shavuot, you have
ready?
The same amount of time.
One, two, three.
Considering it's not 14.
So in Parashas Bahaloska, we read about the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. That in fact, that's why some of the Rishonim point out, why is the Masechta called Pesachim as opposed to Sukkah? It's not Sukkis, it's Sukkah in the singular, but Pesachim is in plural. So one of the reasons, I think Tosis in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim and other places, because of, he writes Erev Pesach, so Erev Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So there's a, the Torah talks about the concept of Pesach Sheni, because we all know there's a Chiyav Min HaTorah for everyone to bring a Pesach Rishon. In fact, it's one of the two mitzvahs aseh that failure to perform results in a Chiyav Kares. Usually there's no onesh per se. You have to bring a karban. If you don't do, you don't fulfill a positive mitzvah. We reserve those onshin punishments for negative violation because that's a kumva aseh. Usually being shev al tasa doesn't result in an onesh. But karban Pesach is one of the two exceptions. The other one is the mitzvah of bris milah. That failure to perform milah, karban Pesach, results in kare. So one is very particular to fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach Rishon. However, the Torah itself gives us a couple of exceptions to the rule. One who is exempt from the mitzvah of Pesach Rishon. And the Torah tells us someone who is derech rechoka, someone who is far away. It's a major discussion, how far is far? And today with modern technology, what does it go by? Does it go by minutes? Does it go by miles? But someone, whatever the distance is, if you're on the other side of that distance, by, I think it's Erev Pesach after Chatzot, it's a different discussion what time it is, so you are exempt. And similarly, if you are Tameh, the one who is, you have to be Tahar to eat the Karban Pesach and be involved. So if you're Tameh and Derech Chokka, the Torah singles out those two as exceptions to the rule. What about if you're onus? Whatever, if it's not one of the two, but you're under duress, it's something out of your control. So Rav Chanan Wasserman says, it's simple. One who is onus is chayev. He thinks he has a gemara in Pesachim that no one argues on. If someone who is onus and he misses Pesach Rishon, he would be chayev in Pesach Sheni. He points out there's a whole machlokas achronim regarding tefillah, that we all know there's a concept of tashlumin, that we say the statute of limitation ends after the next tefillah. Some Rishonim say it lasts for a long time. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman has an interesting discussion by Asher Yatzar. Let's say someone becomes a ger, so, or, you know, or let's say a katan, what, you know, how long could you still make the Asher Yatzar? Are you chayev to make up? Let's say someone even was a Jew, he didn't make an Asher Yatzar, he's a Baal Tshuva. Do you have to make up for 20 years? You know, so we don't assume that way, but that's a discussion with Shlomo Zalman. So there's a discussion by tefillah. We say if you remember the next tefillah, you can make up tashlumin as long as you're b'shogeg, if it's unintentional. And therefore, that's all we do. If you miss two tefillahs, it's over. So what happens if you're anus? For some reason, you didn't have a mincha, but it was out of your control. So it's a machlokas achronim, whether we say there's tashlumin regarding someone who is anus, meaning maybe if you're honest, you're not even obligated to make it up. It's not worse than shogeg, but maybe there's no... Tashlumah means I'm chayev, I couldn't do it, and now I have to make it up. So Rav Chanan claims that he thinks that opinion is a mistake. It's an explicit gemara regarding Pesach Sheni. He thinks honest, one who is honest is considered chayev, and he does have a chayev tashlumin, and he wouldn't have to, in our case here, he wouldn't be chayev. So derech rechoka tamei, and according to Rav Chanan, everyone agrees to onus. So, yeah.
Would an onin also fall into the category of onus?
Very good, we'll get to onin.
Could even just attending a funeral also be part of that? Simply attending the funeral of a very loved rabbi?
Would be part of what?
Being exempted from.
You mean if you're saying you went to a funeral and you couldn't daven, you mean? I mean, assuming, you know, it was a Meis Mitzvah or it was a case where, let's say, you know, it was Rebbe, you know, then we, that could...
Certainly, being an onan,
yes. Yeah, the Gemara, yeah, that even might be Osik B'Mitzvah Patun. I mean, the Gemara in Sukkah talks about, you know, well, you said you're being Ola Regel, you're visiting your Rebbe, yeah, so it might not... Yeah, it could be either a similar principle of that onus. It could be that if you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. So the Gemara has a discussion between Rav Natan and Rebbe, what is the nature of the din of Pesach Sheni? Usually we need to go to the Achronim and the Rishonim for the Lamdis. The Gemara gives it to us. The Gemara wants to know, is Pesach Sheni a regel b'fnei atzmo? That's Rebbe's opinion, that it's considered an independent holiday. Of course, no one says it's an independent holiday that if you did Pesach Rishon, you chayev and Pesach Sheni. There's no opinion like that. But within Pesach Sheni, whether it's considered a regel b'fnei atzmo, or it's only tashlumin l'rishon, or it's only that there's no independent mitzvah Pesach Sheni, one who was chayev in Pesach Rishon and couldn't do it for being derech rechoka or tamei, according to Rav Achan and Anas, so then you chayev. But it's not an independent, there's no independent day of Pesach Sheni. My nafkamina, what's the nafkamina whether I say Pesach Sheni is considered regel b'fnei atzmo, or is it a tashlum in l'rishon? So the Gemara gives us two nafkaminas. A katan shehigdio. Let's say someone becomes bar mitzvah ben Pesach Rishon, ben Pesach Sheni. On Pesach Rishon, he was a katan. So a katan is exempt from all mitzvahs. So therefore, would it be chayev to bring a karban on Pesach Sheni? And the second example is a ger shenizgayer. Someone who becomes a convert in the middle of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, would a ger be chayev in Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara says, according to Rebbe, who says it's a regel b'fnei atzmo for those who haven't brought, so then he's chayev. The fact that a ger and a katan weren't obligated in the midst of Pesach Rishon is academic. It's a regel b'fnei atzmo. Come Pesach Sheni, both a katan and a ger would be chayev to bring a Pesach Sheni. And according to the opinion of Rav Nassan, that is Tashlum and L'Rishon, a Katan and a Ger would be Pata, because since they were in Chayev, and Tashlum means I'm Chayev to daven now, or I'm Chayev in this mitzvah, I couldn't do it for some reason, I'm Shogeg, let's say by Tefillah, so I'm Shogeg by Tefillah, so therefore I can make it up the next Tefillah. So it's a din by Pesach Sheni as well, that if a person wasn't chayev, so that's what the Gemara says, according to Rebbe, a ger and a katan would be chayev in Pesach Sheni. And according to Rav Nassan, who holds his tashlum and l'rishon, so I was never chayev, so there's no reason to make it up. So that's the two shitas in the Gemara. Comes along the Nitziv, and he wants to say there's a third shita in the Sifrei. The Gemara doesn't quote the shita, but the Nitziv wants to say there's a third shita. This whole third shita only is going within Rav Nassan. According to Rebbe, it's a regel b'fnei atzmo, there's nothing to talk about, the chayev. But according to the Nitziv, there's a third shita, that they want to make a distinction between a katan and a ger. So again, the Gemara just tells us, Rebbe says to both chayev, a katan and a ger, if they become a convert between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, a katan becomes a gadol chayev, and Rav Nassan says the pater. The Tziv quotes a third sheet in the Zifri that a gersh and a skayer is pater, even ben Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, but a katan is chayev. So what's the distinction that the Tziv is making between a katan? He says a katan shehigdiel is chayev on Pesach Sheni. A gersh and a skayer is pater. So the Tziv says because there's a fundamental difference between a katan and a ger. It's true that they're both pater min haTorah from bringing a Pesach Rishon, but a ger is pater lagamrei. He wasn't even Jewish at all. There wasn't even any type of chiyuv. Regarding a katan, there's a chiyuv chinach midrabanan. It's a famous machlokes Rashi and the Ramban, who the chiyuv chinach is on, whether it's on the parent or on the child. So we'll work with on the child. That's a chiyuv derabanan. So according to the katan, according to the Nitziv, that a katan would be chayev in Pesach Sheni because he had a chayev chinach, even though he wasn't chayev in HaTorah, but there was some type of chayev, so therefore that's a distinction that Nitziv makes between a katan and a ger. And based on this, but the Rambam seems to go with this, because the Rambam, when he talks about the case of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, so he writes the obvious, you know, one who, a tamei derech rechoka, one who is exempt, it depends on this machlokes, Rebbe and Rav Nassan, and we go basically with Rebbe, that that it's a rego b'fnei atzmo. And then he writes, what about the following case? Let's say a katan brought a Pesach Rishon. He was included in the Chabura. Everyone agrees a katan is exempt. But let's say you included the katan, the 12 and a half year old son, you included in the Karban Pesach. Now what? So the Rambam writes, even though a katan is putter, but if he's included in the Pesach Rishon, he is exempt from the Pesach Sheni. So everyone jumps on the Rambam. Where does the Rambam get this from? How could it be included? So the Tziv writes, this is sowed here. The Tziv writes that, that since a katan has a chi of chinach, so it's enough, it ties into our issue we discussed a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, about a katan shehigdio by Svira. It's the same yisod that the Tziv is writing, and this would, according to the Tziv, a katan can continue counting with the bracha and Svira, because the Tziv is writing, the mice of a katan counts, even though he's parta now, but it can be mitzdarif later, la'achar zman. That's the yisod in the Tziv, that even though a katan is only yischayim yitrabanan now, but that works, that when he becomes chayim in the middle of the mitzvah, in other words, he's in the middle of the mitzvah of Sfirat Omer, any mitzvah we're talking about, or even Ben Pesach Rishon Pesach, he doesn't become chayiv until he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Pesach Rishon. Nevertheless, the mice of a katan counts. In fact, that's what the Tziv writes regarding the shayla of a katan. He writes, let's say someone is a katan, you know, he's becoming bar mitzvah, and he had a big meal before, he wanted to get his last meal in before he became bar mitzvah. So he had a big meal, and let's assume he even did bench. He had enough food that he has a kedei sevia, and now he becomes bar mitzvah. So Rabbi Kiva Eger raises the following shaila: is he chayev in benching now? What do you mean chayev? He benched, because no. But so what? When he benched, he was only chayev midrabanan. So now the chayev v'achalta v'sabata kicks in when he becomes 13. So maybe now, the question is the benching he did midrabanan count? So that Rabbi Kiva Eger leaves the Sarachian, but then it's based on the Netziv, and the Netziv would say that it's a go, that the Maisa of a Katan counts as when he, this like it works for Pesach, like the Rambam writes, that it works for Pesach Rishon to exempt you from Pesach Sheni, and the Netziv would write it by here. And also Avi's case, what about an Onain, a similar Shaila? An Onain is someone who lost a loved one, it's after the death, but before the funeral. So an onain is putter min hamitzvah. So the machlokes Rashi and Tosis whether he's putter, but if he's up to it, he could volunteer mitzvahs. Or according to Tosis, he's usher to do mitzvahs. It's covered ames. We paskin like Tosis, it's usher for an onain to do mitzvahs. So an onain, but there's no mitzvah for an onain to fast. He has to eat. I mean, should he? However, it's very, you know, no brachas. It's very uncomfortable. Some say you just listen to someone else's hamotzi or whatever. But you know, you're not used to eating without brachas, but that's the halacha. So what happens now? He comes back from the funeral. He had a nice big meal when he was an onan. He's still kedei sevia. He's still full from his meal. So that's the shaila. Would an onan be chayev? What calls money is an onan? He's exempt. In fact, it's us for him to do mitzvahs. But when he gets back after the kfura, is he chayev to bench now? So that's also the discussion in Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Akronim. The same issue here, because that gets into what the nature of the din of an onain is, what Avi was asking. Do I say an onain was chayev, except that he couldn't bench, and therefore now that he can, so he's chayev? Or do I say no, an onain's exempt from mitzvahs totally, and therefore if there's no chayev, so there's no tashlum. That's a further discussion in the Achronim. It's all the same yisod. In fact, in the Tziv writes, and it's popular in different camps, but it's true all over, they have campaigns in camp where they have the children, they teach the children how to put on tzitzis, and which is a good thing. And the katan puts on his own tzitzis. The Tziv raises, what happens if he becomes a gadol? Can he still wear those tzitzis when he taught it as a katan? Because we know Tosis writes, or Tom writes, you have to be a bar kshira. He writes it not only by tzitzis, but by tefillin. Someone has to be chayiv in the mitzvah in order to do it. A woman, he says, can't do, you know, not everyone agrees. That's why people, there's a discussion.
They have a machine to do it.
I know there's different parts. That's the lishma, but if the man turns on the machine. But Rabbi Eltam writes, a woman can't do it because she's not chayiv in the mitzvah. So that's a shayla, a katan who made tzitzis. So it's no shayla. While he's a katan, of course he could wear them, because if he's chayiv, he's chayiv. If he's putter, he's putter. But the tziv has a big chiddush, not everyone agrees to, that a katan can continue wearing the tzitzis. Why? Because even though he is putter, But since he did the mice of a katan count, and it could be mitzdarif later when he becomes chayev in the mitzvah sittus. And the Tziv writes, his yisod, it's based on the Rambam, that the Rambam writes, even though a katan is putter in Pesach Sheni, but if he's included in the chabura, he's exempt from Pesach Sheni. And so too, that's his yisod here by sittus, etc. And that's the issue of the onin. So that's in the Tziv third sheet. So we have the Gemara is clear that according to Rebbe, he holds it's a regel b'fnei atzmo. So a ger and a katan is chayev. According to Rav Nassan, it's tashlum and l'rishon. So therefore, since they were exempt on Pesach Rishon, so there's no need to bring a karban on Pesach Sheini. But in the Tziv wants to make a distinction between a ger and a katan. A ger was totally putter, so there's no chayev tashlumin, so he's putter. But a katan who has a uschayev midin chinach, he would be chayev. In fact, this issue is a famous machlokes, the Maharam Rutenberg and the Rush, regarding a katan shehigdil toch shloshim. We know there's a halach of shiva. You lose one of your loved ones, so you chayev in shiva. A katan is exempt from shiva, except because, you know, we din chinach, we don't ain chinach, there's a shach right, we're not machanach the kids in avelis, there's a separate shach. So let's say a katan grows up, becomes a gadol toch shloshim, in the middle of shloshim. So what's the halacha? So there's halacha in Yoridea in Gemara Moed Katan. It's something called a Shmua Krova and a Shmua Rechoka. A Shmua, you hear. Let's say you hear the news that one of your loved ones died Toch Shloshim. The halacha is Yechayev in Avelis, Yechayev in Shiva. If you hold Shmua Rechoka, if you hear after 30 days, so you put it as a din, you do one day, you do like Mixus Hayom. So in fact, there's a further machlokas. People make the mistake. They tell the person on day 30 or before day 30. If they hear before day 30, that's what the Rishonim talk about. Let's say someone is going to a wedding and you know that his loved one passed away and he doesn't know about it. And there's no reason to tell him right now. So there's no mitzvah telling him. The chiyav aveilus only begins if you have the idea. If you don't know about it, the guy might be upset at you and might kill you for not telling him, but you know what?
No, it's like the same thing as a person as the led saras. The Kohen doesn't go and tell him if he knows it's within the days of Shiva, of Yemei HaMishteh. It's something that's like joyful for that person.
Yeah, so in general, it's not just limited to aveilus, but there's a din of idea. So therefore, the tamachok is whether you go by 30 days from the death or 30 days from the burial. So therefore, to some reason, we'll say it's in the burial. So if you tell someone 30 days after, he's still be chayev. A lot of times you do it if you have, let's say, a 95-year-old brother, and it's too much for him to keep shiva, and he's sick, and so you daf can tell him after 30 days, so he only has to keep, you know, like one day. So that's a machok is the Maharam Rumberg and the Rush. If you become a katan, tok shloshim. So the Maharam Rumberg says Yechayev in Shiva, that if you become a gadol tol shloshim Yechayev, you know, and the Rush is cholek, but that's the sheet of the Maharam. We see that like the Tziv was saying, that even though he was exempt in the beginning when it happened, if you become chayev later on, so therefore you still chayev in the halacha. So that's the Tziv's distinction by Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni regarding a katan and a ger. Yeah. Oh, your tach, I know, I was going to get to tach, and then...
If it was just B'nai Atzma, if it was...
Not tach, then you don't mean...
If it was tashlum,